Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. 55 episodes in. Dominic Pacheco, I'm Justin Spears. Thank you for listening to us right here on the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson.com, and the Wildcaster app. Dom, Arizona basketball now back in the top 25.
Yes, sir.
They are back. They are back.
Arizona basketball is back, right?
Nah, not even close.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Arizona's number 23 in the latest AP Top 25 poll. And a familiar team that usually isn't in this position, they haven't been in this position since 1981. The Arizona State Sun Devils are now number 5 in the country.
You know, I woke up this morning and the first thing I saw on my phone was Arizona State bolts to number 1. And I'm thinking... Yeah, if that's not the hottest take I've seen, of course, it was just the power rankings that I got the update for. But they're number 5, and, you know, it's hard to argue against them right now. Just beat a number 2 Kansas team in Lawrence. One of the,
like 10. Mean,
yeah, colloquially known as one of the hardest places to play in the country. So, you know, ASU, it's starting to get that time to look at them as, you know, maybe they're for real.
A legit team.
Yeah, but... In saying that, are they for real, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, this team, because they are the perfect college basketball team. You know, look at all the teams that Arizona has struggled with just this year, with the exception of Purdue. So you have SMU and NC State. Did either of those two teams have really decent bigs or tall guys?
SMU or who? NC State?
NC State.
NC State, definitely
neither
not.
Neither of them. No. And the biggest guy for SMU was 6'9", I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Arizona State has really mastered small ball.
Mm-hmm.
The backcourt is probably one of the best backcourts in the Pac-12, which is crazy to think. I never thought I'd be saying that about ASU.
About Arizona State,
at this, even in a couple of years. I mean, I like the way Bobby Hurley has the program going.
Right.
I think he's got it going in a great direction.
Well, and that's the thing, is they were going to be a good team down a few years down the road.
Exactly.
You know?
Not now.
Not
now.
Not in 2017.
Not now. But, you know, Trey Holder, Shannon Evans II, and my favorite player on ASU, Remy Martin. Dom, do you know what Remy Martin is?
Remy Martin. Do I know what he is?
No. I know you know who he is, but do you know what Remy Martin is? The brand.
Brand. Give me the brand.
It is a cognac.
Is it?
It is like Hennessy. It is an alcoholic beverage.
Really?
Remy Martin.
I'm trying to like picture the bottle, but I don't even... Remy Martin.
It's just like another version of Hennessy.
Like, is it like a cursive R&M on its bottle?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a big Remy Martin.
I'll take your word for it. I believe you.
I'm more of a Hennessy guy, so...
If you know about Remy Martin, I'll take your word for it.
Anyways... Those three guys just alone combined for 72 points yesterday. I mean
that's Arizona. I mean, you're talking about the same kind of thing with guys like Dusan, DeAndre Ayton, and Alonzo Trier. But earlier in the year, when them three were combining for the majority of Arizona's points, it's like that, only they're doing it more effectively right now.
Bruh, you really said Dusan Ristic. I mean, Dusan, or not Dusan Ristic, DeAndre Ayton,
right,
and Alonzo Trier, those two go off for 50-plus points combined on a nightly basis.
Right.
But ASU, what they did, they went into Kansas, a 12-point underdog, mind you, and they beat them pretty handily. And the best part about that was, is Kansas got out to a 15-2 lead to start the game. the way it started out, you're like, okay, ASU's back to being ASU. They finally played a decent team, and what happens? They get spanked.
Right.
No, they came back and they outscored. They put up an offensive onslaught that I haven't seen from a Pac-12 team. Allen Fieldhouse, which is mind-blowing. Again, December 30th, that's when ASU comes to Tucson to play Arizona. I'm assuming at that point Arizona will have a few more wins under their belt, so they'll move up in the rankings.
Right. You'll probably be looking at, I mean,
a top 15 matchup.
Yeah, 15 and 15 and top 10. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
This is perfect for the rivalry. Arizona-ASU has always been a football rivalry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Arizona dominates ASU in basketball. I mean, it's been like that since 1984.
Right.
Now, Bobby Hurley, Sean Miller. I mean, I'm not saying they're young coaches, but they're younger coaches compared to kind of the landscape of college basketball coaches. So the fact that these guys are going to be here for a couple decades.
Right.
And if they stay here and they just go at it head to head every single year, the way Bobby Hurley has a program on the come up. Man, I'm excited for this rivalry. And that's why you should check out my piece. I wrote it last night on Tucson.com. And it's also on the Wildcaster app. I wrote about how ASU beating Kansas, setting up the rivalry, will pretty much be the start of something special here in the state of Arizona.
Are we that fortunate to have a good football rivalry and basketball rivalry in the same state with two Arizona schools?
Hey.
I hope, man. That December 30th game is going to be impressive, too. I'm looking at Trey Holder's stats here. I mean, we talk about Alonzo Trier as a player of the year candidate. I mean, look at what Trey Holder has done against the two best teams ASU's played all year. So, number 15, Xavier, number 2, Kansas. He's put up 40 points against Xavier. I mean, shooting over 60% from the field, shot well from the line, and over 60% behind the arc. And then against Kansas, put up 29, 7 assists, so... I mean, I'm not calling him MVP candidate, but he's averaging 21 and 5 right now, and I mean he's playing as hot as anyone in the country right now, and he's got him ranked in the top 5, so it's hard to argue against it. One guy that I think Arizona's kind of looking to get that jolt from and hopefully boost them up into the top 5 by the end of the year is just came back, made his appearance, Raleigh Hawkins,
huge,
huge.
He came back against Alabama. Broke his foot back in September, the same week as the FBI investigation, which was like, felt like a hurricane came through for the Arizona program. But
The day after, that's right.
And now that he's back, he was gone for 10 weeks. He was in his 11th week of recovery. He came out against Alabama, looked very, very sluggish. Yeah, he put in 22 minutes at 7 points. But you look at his other stats, you kind of see where Raleigh is valued. And he had, I believe it was 4 offensive rebounds, or not offensive rebounds, just 4 rebounds in general. Had a steal, had a block. He played great defense on the perimeter. You can kind of tell guys like Colin Sexton, they were able to get around Parker Jackson Cartwright and Alex Barcelo. And Raleigh Hawkins was supposed to be the help defense, and he kind of was delayed on getting over there. So, look, Raleigh Hawkins is going to be a fantastic player for Arizona this year. I think he's going to be an all-Pac-12 player when it's all said and done. But
he should be.
Arizona couldn't have asked him to come back to the lineup at a better time.
Right.
Because of the Bahamas trip and them trying to figure out Arizona's trying to figure out things to where they can get back to where they used to be. And
where they want to be playing, I think.
Exactly. And now that Miller has all of his troops, there's no more excuses. No more, oh, this guy was hurt. You know, this is all about Arizona going forward and what they can accomplish. But the thing about Raleigh Hawkins being back in the mix,
minutes.
So anyways, Sean Miller said after the game on Wednesday, or not Wednesday, after the Alabama game on Saturday, about minutes and how he's going to diplomat them. And let's go ahead and hear what Miller had to say.
Tonight, I mean, Alabama scored 82. This is the University of Arizona, and not everybody gets to start and play. And some of the greatest players that played in our program never played as a freshman, weren't nearly the player that they became, but they fought and they earned what they got, and they learned what they needed to get better. And sometimes at 19 years old, you're not as ready as you're going to be at 20 or 21. So, you know, with a program like ours, you want to keep these guys practicing, getting ready. But we have a number of players that maybe a year from now could be our leading scorer, one of our best players or a starter. And on this year's team, maybe they don't play as much. But our focus has to be on winning and being the best team that we can be. And when nothing's given and you have to earn it, you're playing against great competition in practice, those players, you know, the cream will rise to the top.
Yeah. So, I mean, Miller's not wrong, mm-hmm. because now that all of his players are back and ready, the best players that are here will play.
Absolutely.
And it kind of brings up to, I guess, I don't know. I don't even know where to begin right now, because Raleigh Alkins came back. Dylan Smith, his minutes were cut. Emmanuel Acott didn't even play. Mm-hmm. But Miller kept saying, oh, his knees are bothering him. His knees are bothering him. His knees have been bothering him for the last, I felt like, 2 weeks.
Right.
Ever since the Bahamas trip.
I mean, he literally didn't play. He didn't touch the court.
He did not play a single second.
I mean, Arizona's biggest home game, arguably, of the year. Non-conference. And one of a guy who Miller, just weeks ago, literally weeks ago, called one of the best defenders on the team, one of the best young defenders Arizona's ever had, is now disappeared. He's absolutely disappeared from the rotation. And you look at a guy like Raleigh Alkins who's going to come back. He had 22 minutes, and that's about 10 minutes below what he's going to be getting once he's back to 100%. So where are those? I mean, does a guy like Brandon Randolph see fewer? I mean, he saw 21 minutes. He at all freshmen, he was obviously the highest after DeAndre Ayton. So, I mean, where does Raleigh Alkins kind of fit into that, I guess? And
this kind of another thing that a lot of people aren't really looking at this, and mm-hmm. again, maybe this is just a reach on my part, but how do you think this looks to recruits?
Mm-hmm.
Because in this day and age of basketball, in this AAU mentality, recruits love to play with friends.
Yeah.
They love all to go to the same school. They love to all play together, enjoy their college years together. But when you're only playing 7 to 8 guys, when other programs like the Kentuckys of the world, the Kansas, the Dukes, they're all playing 10 to 11 guys,
mm-hmm.
How does that make you look realistically? And
well, that's the thing. I mean, and Sean Miller's always, I mean, traditionally played a 7-man rotation. It seems in March, that's how it always is, no matter how deep. I mean, how that's all we talked about the entire offseason, how deep this Arizona team's going to be. And Sean Miller brought it up in the first few press conferences. I mean, they're deep. They have that talent. But not everyone's going to get on the court. And we've heard Sean Miller talk about it all year, really, about how he's, you know, you got to play to win minutes. You know, you kind of have to
win.
You got to win your minutes to get on the court. I mean, you're not.
That's a great thing about sports.
That's a great thing about sports.
You play to win.
Bringing Herm into it now. But, I mean, because you look at, that's what they're doing right now. They're playing a 7-man rotation. Dylan Smith had 1 minute after having arguably his best game of the year, put up 13 points against a ranked Texas A&M team who plays really efficient defense. Mm-hmm. Put up 13 points, only missed one shot from the field.
Mm-hmm.
Was near perfect. So, and then he comes out and gets 1 minute in Arizona's biggest non-conference home game. So.
I don't even know why I play that.
Any way we can get Herm Edwards into here, though, right?
Oh, that wasn't even
I know
Herm Edwards. That was Jim Mora.
Jim Mora. Oh, okay.
I was thinking about Herm Edwards.
I was thinking you meant to play.
What I meant to play was when Sean Miller said, "The cream will rise to the top." It brought back my favorite memory of Macho Man Randy Savage.
As he flicks the little coffee creamer. One of six that he pulls out.
So I guess Emmanuel Acott isn't the cream.
I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Right now, I think everyone could agree that the second best freshman on the team is Brandon Randolph. Just because the way Sean Miller's delegating minutes, at least, it's DeAndre Ayton and Brandon Randolph are the top two freshmen. Alex Barcelo's not seeing a lot. Ira Lee's kind of filling in when people get tired and need to get rotated off, but I mean, Dylan Smith's not really getting a lot of minutes right now, so I don't know if that's going to be more of a streaky, you know, when he's on the floor, and, you know, when he comes in, misses a couple shots, Miller's not going to play him. So, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Raleigh Alkins fits into that the rest of the year. One thing that we'll always be sure of is how impressive DeAndre Ayton is. And I think the last two games, I mean, the guy's a stud. And we can only talk about it for so much. But one thing that kind of got brought up this week with all the scouts that were in Phoenix for the Texas A&M game and, watching DeAndre Ayton perform the way he did against the number 7 team on a big stage and at home against a tough Alabama squad. Put up 29-13 points, 18-10 rebounds in the two games. So he's kind of hitting his stride early in the season here, and I think that's big for Arizona. But as I was saying, the big thing that people were talking about this week is he the number one draft pick now?
Yeah, and I talked to Mike Schmidt from Draft Express, who is now owned by ESPN,
right,
and Myron Medcalf, and every time DeAndre Ayton touched the ball, and I've never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he touched the ball and did something good, you would hear the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. The two ESPN national guys were so jazzed about DeAndre Ayton, and all the local media was just like, "Oh, we see this on a nightly basis. Oh, this is nothing new to us." But they both of them were just completely wowed by Ayton. And I asked Schmitz, I was like, where do you have him in your mock draft? Mm-hmm. You're one of the best mock draft sites in the country, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you have DeAndre Ayton at? And he said, I have him number one, which is incredible because this is going to be probably the most loaded draft since the 2003 draft with LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh.
A lot of talent.
Darko Milicic. I couldn't even finish that. But this is a very deep draft, and DeAndre Ayton is a special player, something that Arizona has never seen, something that basketball fans have very rarely seen.
Mm-hmm.
There is hardly anybody like Ayton. Again, Miller compared him to a taller, more explosive version of David West, which I thought was a very interesting comparison. Again, Miller coached both of them, so
right,
he sees
right.
something that we don't. But I look at Joel Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns, two young centers that are destined to be the face of the NBA
mm-hmm.
for many years to come. DeAndre Ayton falls in that pool. This is a new day in age of NBA where it's the combo forwards, the fours, the threes. You see, usually combo forwards used to be a poison.
That's a scary.
Guys like Derek Williams who went into the draft, you looked at guys like those, you were like, that's a poisonous pick. Don't pick those. But now you have Kevin Durant, who revolutionized the game, mm-hmm. And even going towards the now draft, Marvin Bagley,
mm-hmm.
Michael Porter Jr., even guys currently in the NBA that are still young, like Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's just so many hot talent, and this draft class is loaded with that talent, but DeAndre Ayton is looking like he could be the face of that class.
What about a Tim Duncan? Is that a fair comparison?
Man, DeAndre Ayton would steal Tim Duncan's lunch in his prime.
I mean, that's what scares me. I mean, is DeAndre Ayton, can he be that good in the NBA? I mean, we're just sitting here talking about him as a draft prospect. Is he going to be this dominant on an NBA stage? What I look at is, Colin Sexton came into McHale, and we're looking at him as possibly a lottery pick. And
oh, he will be a lottery
pick. Yeah, and he's one of the best young guards in the country. So if you're looking for a guard, I don't think you can get better than Colin Sexton. looking at NBA's...
NBA draft on it.
Yeah, one mock draft right now has a guard from Slovenia. Luka Doncic?
That's the Chris Stapps of the draft.
About before, right, so he's a guard. It looks like he can play wing, 6'7", 220. Listed as a guard and a small forward. But anyways, I think the best guard that's going to be available is Colin Sexton. But you look at guys like Colin Sexton and a guy at Texas A&M, Robert Williams, who could sneak up into the top 10 by the end of the year. You look at those two guys and what talent they bring to the field, to the court. If those are the best two players Arizona's faced this year, I mean, DeAndre Ayton, to me, just has so much more talent. I mean, he's a unicorn, and I know it might be cliche to say that, but there's no one in the game right now in the country on the college level that you look at and go, wow, he's as good as DeAndre Ayton, or he can do as much as DeAndre Ayton inside. He can pop out. He can hit a three. You know, he'll always get the job done inside, and he can come out and average 20 and maybe even 10. You know, DeAndre Ayton could be averaging a double-double by the end of the year, especially with how well he's played in the last two games. I don't think that's far stretched to say at all. I don't think anyone else in the country has the kind of versatility that DeAndre Ayton has right now, and I think that's why he's the number one pick by far and away. I don't think you're going to get a more talented guy right now.
He's not a unicorn. He's
what do you got for me?
Less than a god.
Less,
than but more than a man.
Who said this?
It was.
I read that.
I saw it on Twitter somewhere. I forgot. Was it just a I forgot tweet? Who tweeted. I think it was John Rothstein from CBS. Okay. But he got that from The Sandlot. The Sandlot was the one who started that. They were talking about Babe Ruth.
Right.
And how he was more than, or not more than a god.
Oh, that's a good steal from John, if that was John.
He was, DeAndre Ayton is more than a man, but less than a god. Or it's the other way around, less than a god, but more than a man. But anyways, we talk about this loaded draft class, and now that DeAndre Ayton, now that the more he plays, the more he's starting to solidify that number one pick. It really just all comes down to our good old man, Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, and DeAndre Ayton is the cream, and he will rise to the top.
He's already at the top. He's number one.
All right,
in my opinion.
All right. Well, that will do it for the first half of our episode 55 Wildcast podcast. We're gonna go ahead and talk to a man that knows more about Arizona basketball than Dom and I combined, and that's the man who's been covering him for the last 16 years. That's Arizona Daily Star beat writer Bruce Pasco. Bruce at the gym. He's taken away from his workout time to talk to us.
This is valuable time. I mean, this is how you know it's for real. When Bruce Pasco takes time out of his day to come on the Wildcast, I mean, once a week, it's special. Listen to what Bruce has to say. Here we go.
Let's get it.
Hello, my name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
All right, we're here with Arizona Daily Star basketball beat writer Bruce Pasco. Bruce, hate to cut into some your gains getting time. I know you're out there working out and getting those gains in, man. But we got to talk about Arizona basketball. They reappear in the AP Top 25. They're number 23. ASU, the team up north that everybody's familiar with, comes in at number 5. What do you just kind of take away from looking at these rankings?
Well, that's actually about where I would have thought they would have landed. I mean, you're supposed to, when you vote in that, you're supposed to – it's not so much about, you know, what you're – Ken Palm rating says, or your power rating, it's supposed to be basically a reward for what you've done this season. And, you know, keeping in mind your strength of schedule, where the games were at, head-to-head, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you got to say ASU is a top 10 team the way they played after they beat Kansas and the other things that are on their resume. And Arizona, that's probably pretty fair, you know, that they were ranked that, you know, in that 20 to 25, I kind of figured they'd be either just inside or just outside the bowl this week, beating Texas A&M on a semi-neutral court. But, you know, that's probably their only really, you know, signature win to this point. I think, you know, beating Alabama at home game, granted Alabama's a really good team, but that's, you know, that's to be expected, really.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, but ASU, they're ranked in the top 10 for the first time since 1981.
Yeah.
Bruce, where were you at in 1981?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to date myself, but I wasn't in college, I'll say that. Yeah, and I don't remember that. You know, I mean, heck, they were barely in the Pac-12 or Pac-10 at that point. And I saw some of the pictures of the guys, you know, the star from that team. I think their SID tweeted them out, and it just cracks you up how long ago that was, and the style, and you know, everything. But yeah, it was a long time ago, and I believe, and I'm checking on this now, but I believe it's the first time only Arizona and ASU have been ranked in the Pac-12, and nobody else in the conference. It's really really unusual what's going on right now.
That's remarkable, and it's crazy. I was looking at all the photos from ASU when they were ranked in the top 10, and Byron Scott was playing for ASU.
Yeah.
Man, it's so crazy. He had the whole afro and everything, and now he's bald. So, Bruce, just evaluating Arizona's games again. Texas A&M, I thought was a great win because you play again. It's a semi-neutral court. Phoenix, you're going to have heavily Arizona fans there, but Texas A&M took them all the way down to the last couple minutes. And you can even talk about the UNLV game for that matter. They took them down to the last few minutes, and Arizona finds a way to win. I get it. Arizona fans aren't really convinced because, of course, the defense still has its problems. Arizona's giving up a lot of points, but they're starting to figure out how to close out close games, which I think is valuable because, as we all know, Arizona teams in the past have struggled closing out games.
Yeah, and this, exactly. I don't think that's actually been talked about a lot. That's a good point. It's you know, three games in a row by, three or four points or less, one on overtime at UNLV. And you know, not, you know, I think in some cases, I think in A&M, they both failed their last possession or whatever, you know, and there's that. But you're right, they've found a way to close it out. And a lot of times Arizona teams have a lot of big wins early and then they get in a close game and then they struggle or lose. And that's happened, you know, and you don't want that happening, you know, especially as you're going into the conference season. So you want to have some close games and, you know, preferably pull some of them out and figure out how to do it and build some confidence that way. And, you know, particularly after, as we know, after the Bahamas, it was really critical that they built up that kind of confidence level. But not only they can win, but they can get it done, you know, when it's close and things aren't necessarily going all their way.
Yeah, and another close game, the most recent game against Alabama, the Crimson Tide were unranked. However, they were, I believe, 18 to start the year. They were somewhere between 15 and 20. A couple bad losses, of course, gets you out of it. But Bama
Colin Sexton. Ranked, actually, they were ranked the week before. They were ranked, and they lost to UCF, I believe.
That's right, Central Florida.
And just slipped out. So, yeah. I mean, that was a bad. That was kind of a bad loss. That was at home, but they had, you know, yeah.
They got talent. I mean, you look at their guards with Colin Sexton and Petty. I mean, there was actually a brief moment there when I was sitting at McHale Center watching this game thinking that, you know what, Arizona actually might lose this because they don't have a single player that can guard Petty's outside shot, and Colin Sexton was just getting in the lane, scoring almost instantly. And I know he struggled in the first half because he picked up a couple early fouls and spent a lot of time on the bench, but, I mean, he was really Alabama's key player. And it's really concerning, especially because we sit here and talk about the great guards with Alonzo Trier and now Raleigh Alkins being back in the mix, and yet they still couldn't manage to stop guards from getting in the lane and scoring.
Yeah, I mean, they did a decent job on him. I mean, statistically, it didn't look like Petty had that many great looks at it, and he wasn't. You know, if he was closely guarded, the shot usually didn't go in. So that, you know, they did okay there. I mean, it was better than they've had in some perimeter games. I mean, if you remember, like, UMBC made 14 threes against them. I mean, they were a lot, and that team they didn't have the guards that Alabama had, obviously.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's some progress there. It's just they've got some issues there and defensively inside, you know, how they're going to, you know, stop penetrating guards like that. That is a concern because Sexton, especially late in the game, was just, you know, tremendous in getting in there. And you look at ASU now, what they're doing, and that's what they're doing. So, and they're coming on the 30th. So it's going to be interesting to see if Arizona is ready for that.
And Bruce, one of the other big storylines with Arizona basketball this week, you know, if you, of course, going along with the win up in Phoenix against A&M, is Raleigh Alkins coming back against Alabama. I've seen the floor for the first time this season after missing 10 weeks with that broken foot. He played 22 minutes, didn't look great. You know,
sluggish.
Yeah, looks. I mean, you could tell that he hadn't played for 10 weeks. And, you know, I think that's fair. You know, I don't think anyone expected him to come out and kind of snap right into it. Maybe people had high expectations because of how Alonzo Trier came back last year. But Raleigh Alkins, for as young as he is, I think he came out and did exactly what everyone thought he would. You know, it was just good to see him back out there. But, you know, Sean Miller, with all the talent he has this year, he's essentially gone back to, you know, typical Sean Miller rosters where you see him playing with essentially a seven-man roster or seven-man rotation. I mean, Raleigh Alkins had 22 minutes off the bench and Ira Lee had 11. And then after that, I mean, it was pretty much just slotting a few guys in here and there to fill a couple minutes. But is that sustainable throughout the year? And how do you see Raleigh Alkins kind of fitting into this lineup, and who's he taking minutes from?
Yeah, I mean, Miller said that he didn't necessarily mean what happened Saturday minutes wise was how it's going to play out. But I actually think that it will. You know, I think there's a really good chance it will. It'll be basically seven solid guys. Pinder, you know, depending on the matchup defensively, he's gonna play anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes, depending on that. And then you got Dylan Smith, who's, you know, probably going to play in foul situations, or if somebody gets hurt, or if he gets hot, maybe he stays out there a little longer. He might be a spot minute guy as your ninth guy. And then, you know, right now, you know, and then Acott's a big wild card, because we all know he has a lot of potential. And is he going to make a move and get back in that rotation, or what's going to happen with him? It could go either way, it looks like, at this point, you know.
One of the guys I've always been really high on, and maybe you have been a little bit too, I know Ryan Finley, Star Sports Editor, has always been huge on him, is Alex Barcelo. And he's kind of one of those guys that never got the hype with this freshman class, with how good they've been, with guys like DeAndre Ayton up top. But we talked about Parker Jackson's defense. If that's something that is kind of prolonged throughout the season, where once Arizona starts playing top-level elite guards and Parker can't guard them as efficiently as Sean Miller wants him to, can you see a guy like Alex Barcelo stealing minutes from Parker?
Probably not. I mean, he might get some minutes and maybe is an expense of the other guards, but I don't see that defensively, because I think even though Parker loses some inches, he just knows so much more because he's been around so much longer and he's more poised. And certainly offensively, you know, he's a little, you know, a lot more of a ready to go calm engineer that everybody trusts. And I know Miller, you know, thinking that way as a coach, he's going to go with him. So I don't see that. I mean, Barcelo to me is a great guy to have in your program if he's willing to stay 3 or 4 years, which, right, I think he is, because I think he could really become something. But you know, and playing, you know, the spot minutes he is now, and with his work ethic, he's, you know, incredibly hard, ferocious kind of worker, and that you love to see that. And he's got a lot of potential, but I think you're going to really see him be something, you know, his junior and senior years, if he's still around, if all things are the same, I think. But this year, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he'll get minutes. He'll be a fringe guy in the rotation, but I don't see him necessarily stealing from Parker per se. Anyway, at least at this point, and probably through the year, because, you know, Parker could be. He's just too valuable, I think, as an experienced guy. But you're right. He definitely, in some cases, can be a defensive liability if the matchup is tough. But yet, he did okay against Stetson. It wasn't all bad, I thought, anyway. You know, I mean, when I was able to watch him, I thought, you know, he was shadowing him pretty well and doing what he could do. And I think, you know, his knowledge and experience helps him make up for some of those physical shortcomings.
So if Barcelo's not stealing minutes, is this the seven man rotation that we're going to see between DeAndre Ayton, Dusan Ristich, Cartwright, and Brandon Randolph at the guards, and then Alonzo Trier kind of as your wingman, and then Raleigh Alkins and Ira Lee also fitting into that rotation? I mean, are those the seven guys that Miller's going to roll with all year, or are any of these other freshmen going to be able to squeeze in minutes in there?
You know, I think, again, I think Acott's a real X factor there. You know, he could make a move there, and I think the other guys, you know, Ira Lee's already sort of made his. He's sort of positioned himself ahead of Pinder, and you know, so he's in there. You know, I think matchups could have something to do with it in certain cases, but I think overall the other thing is probably what a lot of people have been talking about: does he keep playing Dusan, Ristich, and DeAndre Ayton together? And, you know, especially against small ball teams, my guess is they're going to play them together a little bit less, and especially with Raleigh back now, because they can go a little bit smaller and still have a lot of scoring and experience level. But on the other hand, they, you know, Miller really believes in Dusan, so he's going to keep playing him a lot. But I think that's maybe the only tweak I could see, is maybe if you go to you shave a little bit more minutes off of Dusan, even if he still starts, and go with maybe four smaller guys and Ayton in the middle more often than you do now, then you have some more minutes created there at the 3 or 4 spots, and that could I could see that happening.
Bruce, looking ahead to Arizona's next game, they'll take on New Mexico on Saturday. It's been a while since you've been to Albuquerque, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they actually, you know, the last time Arizona was there was the, I think it was 2002 NCAA tournament. They have not been to the Pit since, I believe it was, Jason Terry's senior year, 98, 99. I don't have my records in front of me, but I believe it was that season. And they had there was a situation there where New Mexico had 4 seconds to go coast to coast inbound the ball, and they did it. And Lute Olson felt that they didn't start the shot clock right away. There was some controversy over that. They gave, conceivably giving them a little more time. They got the shot off. They won the game. Lute said, "I'm never coming back." And he never did, except when he had to for the tournament, but that was a different deal. They actually played well in that tournament, by the way, when they went there, but they never did go back. And then under him, and then Sean Miller came in, and a few years ago they signed the series, and that sort of became news again. I think it's an even bigger deal up there that Arizona's coming back. It's you know, I think they've been hungry for this game. So even though they're not playing that great this year, I think the fans up there will be up for it, it should be something.
Yeah, and not only that, but you know, you have NBA talent coming in. I mean, for a program like New Mexico, I think that's a pretty big deal for them, especially, you know, because rivals, or not, I shouldn't say rival states, I say neighboring states, yeah. And I guess an old rivalry kind of having a new little spark here in 2017. So, all right, Bruce, well, I appreciate you. We always enjoy you having on our podcast. Again, that's Bruce Pascoe from the Arizona Daily Star. You can follow him on Twitter at Bruce Pascoe. Thanks for joining us, Bruce.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all
Bruce. Right.
Take care. All right, special thanks to Arizona Daily Star beat writer Bruce Pascoe for always providing some good analysis on Arizona basketball, the Wildcats.
Not many hot takes today.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess it's kind of mellowing out.
It's the holiday season, man.
Yeah.
Hot takes will be coming on January 1st, 2018.
December
30th. Oh, yeah, December 30th. Big game, Arizona ASU here at McHale Center.
Yes, sir.
So anyways, Bruce will be out in Albuquerque for that game at New Mexico. The Wildcats will play the Lobos at 6 p.m. Tucson time, local time, at the Pit. Game will be broadcasted on CBS Sports Network. It should be a fun one, Dom.
Absolutely. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter at The Wildcaster. We're The Wildcaster on Facebook.
And also, you better download that app. Because
app has everything.
Seriously, everything. Podcast, videos.
You got those push notifications. When Arizona State's ranked in the top five, you'll get that push right away. Not that you want it.
For the first time since Nam. Anyway.
Great.
Well, Nam was a little bit before that, but anyways, for Dom, I am Justin. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.